This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Once upon a time, there was a gentle giant of a boy, and he fell in love with an unknowable mystery of a girl who did not, could not love him back, at least not in the way he loved her. So begins the new young adult novel by New Hampshire author Chelsea Philpott. Part road trip, part love story, part exploration of one's purpose in life, the book takes us from Florida to New Hampshire and puts its young protagonist face to face with people from a world much different from the one he grew up in. The book is called Be Good, Be Real, Be Crazy, and Chelsea Philpott joins me now to talk about it. Thank you very much for speaking with me.
Glad to be here.
So tell us a little bit about the duo at the center of the book, Homer and Mia.
Homer is a sheltered 18-year-old. Who's trying to figure out what he wants to do with his life. Mia is a free-spirited whirlwind of a personality, just kind, gregarious, outgoing, who wants to do right by Homer, and somehow this odd couple comes together.
Worth noting that Mia is pregnant, and that is, I think, is what you meant when you wrote that first line, this unknowable mystery who could not love him in the way that he loved her.
Well, actually, the concept, I think a lot in terms of concepts when it comes to writing, particularly with books, and I just fell in love with the idea of how love can be lopsided, unrequited love, or love where one person is loving a little bit more than the other person. So that's actually what I'm referring to in the first chapter, just the dynamic of Homer and Mia's relationship. Mm-hmm. That changes for the better.
For the better, sure. Yeah. And it certainly develops as they make their way north in an old car that they refer to as the Banana, this ugly, stinky, yellow car. Mm-hmm. So you talk about unrequited love as inspiration for this. Tell us about the other aspect of the book, the road narrative. This is a time-honored tradition in American literature, of course. What drew you to this particular structure for a story about unrequited love or lopsided love?
I think it's an author's rite of passage. You must write a road trip story at some point, or you get kicked out of the American canon or something. But I love road trip stories. I always have. And I wanted to write a road trip story that was as much about the freedom of being on an open road as it was a pilgrimage. I've had so many strange and varied inspirations for this book. The parables are meant to echo Canterbury Tales, and Pilgrim's Progress, Wizard of Oz was an inspiration. And I made road trip books broadly here. Of course, On the Road, a lot by Bill Bryson. There's something so tempting about a road trip narrative, particularly teenagers, because you have coming-of-age themes, and any trip, road trip, plane trip, boat trip, changes you in some way.
Road trips are something that at least when I was a teenager, it was always something I wanted to do because my freedom as a teenager, rightly so, was constricted. My parents didn't let me do everything I wanted to do. This is something that teenagers love to think about. When you're writing for a teenager, are you attempting to deliberately think about what are the things that teenagers want to do and then write a novel about that? Is that where that goes? Or is it just something naturally you're curious about?
It's something I'm naturally curious about. I like writing for teens because I feel like I'm never done myself. And by that, I mean that I think we're always becoming the person we want to be, the people we want to be. And that theme, that exploration is conducive to YA literature. It does draw on my own experiences. A road trip I took with my best friend that went the length of Oklahoma and involved the worst Thai food I hope to ever eat. And I took the train from Washington, D.C. to San Francisco and got stranded in the Mojave Desert for a few days. And the crazy stories that came out of those experiences were ones I had as an adult, but I felt could be encapsulated in a road trip narrative.
You wrote on your blog, I'm going to quote you here, "I used to think writer's block was a myth, and then I started working on my second book. Now I know that writer's block is real, and it's the worst." You were referring to this new book, right? This is your second book.
Yeah. This book nearly killed me. I'm exaggerating, but only
Well, tell us the story. I'm curious about how it went down.
Oh. God. I started to write Be Good, Be Real, Be Crazy in earnest after the publication of my first book, Even in Paradise, in fall 2014. And it was the worst because I had to write this book, and yet I just wasn't feeling the motivation. I don't know what it was. It was the schism that opens up after you accomplish a dream. I had published my first book, so what now? And the idea of a second book just seemed kind of a letdown. So that combined with second book syndrome, where you're stifled about writing the second book because you know too much and you also know what you don't know in terms of the publishing industry, reviewing, what it means to put your work out in the world. So yeah, that and just the news. It seemed like maybe because I was in such a lull or a bit of a hole after Even in Paradise, I guess, but I noticed the news more and everything was terrible. There were earthquakes in Nepal and riots in Baltimore, and every headline stuck out in capital letters. So I think eventually I was able to turn that writer's block into questions that became the questions I wanted to explore in Be Good, Be Real, Be Crazy.
What advice could you give for someone who is facing their own version of writer's block?
Be kind to yourself. You can beat yourself up because you're not writing your 1,000 words a day, or you can just put yourself in front of your laptop and write whatever you can, even if it's terrible. Most first drafts are a multi draft. I think through writing. So in order to think through a story, even to know what my story is, I have to write it out. So for anybody struggling with writer's block, I would just be aware of the immediate, which is you're at your desk, you're going to write something, even if it's bad. And then the bigger picture, it will get done.
Well, Chelsea, thank you very much for coming in and speaking about your new book.
Thank you for having me.
That's Chelsea Philpott. She's the author of the new book, Be Good, Be Real, Be Crazy. And you can find a list of the top 5 books on Chelsea's bookshelf at nhpr.org. We are always looking for reading recommendations from listeners like you, so send them our way. Our email address is books@nhpr.org. Just send us the name of the book, the author, and a little paragraph about why you like the book so much. That email address is books@nhpr.org. And you can also tweet us at nhprbookshelf. This is The Bookshelf from NHPR. I'm Peter Biello. Thank you very much for listening.